Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, and the legacy of Harry Chapin lives on in words, deeds, and of course, song. In song, his storytelling tracks evoke all the feelings about family and love. Who hasn't heard Cats in the Cradle and then immediately stopped whatever you were doing to go spend time with someone? His deeds include becoming an activist, working to alleviate hunger and poverty, and in his words, his motto, when in doubt, do something. That's the name of a new documentary about Chapin's life and work. He urged President Carter to create a presidential commission on world hunger and spent time on Capitol Hill lobbying elected officials to support their efforts, and proudly said that he played half of his concerts for charity. After his death in 1981, he received the Congressional Gold Medal in 1987, which is Congress's highest expression of national appreciation for distinguished achievements and contributions. The new documentary, Harry Chapin, When in Doubt, Do Something, will be available on video on demand on October 30th. And joining me now are the film's director, Rick Korn. Hi, Rick.
Hi. Thank you for having us.
And Jason Chapin, one of Harry's sons and one of the film's producers. Jason, thanks for being with us.
Hi. Great to be with you.
So, Jason, your family has generations of musicians, starting with Harry's father, who was a jazz drummer, Jim Chapin. And then there was Harry and his brothers, the Chapin brothers, who were clean cut, this guitar strumming trio playing gigs downtown at the Bitter End and the Village Gate. When we look back on it, when do you think Harry got really serious about music?
Well, I think he was always watching his father, who was a famous drummer, and beginning to think about the possibilities of playing music. But they also grew up in Brooklyn Heights and were part of the Grace Church Choir. And then my father has an uncle, Michael Burke, who was the first one to pick up a guitar. And my father had already started playing the trumpet, but noticed the guitar was attracting more women. So he made the conversion and decided that guitar was his thing. And he also played the harmonica, the banjo, and a little bit of the piano. So he played a number of different instruments.
It's interesting that he had all this musical talent, Rick, but for a while he left music to go make documentary films, including one called Legendary Champions, which he directed, and it was nominated for an Academy Award. Why did he go down this path, and what brought him back to music?
Well, what brought him down the path was his desire to tell stories. And I think the effect that his documentary filmmaking had on the way that he wrote his music and the way he framed the stories is very similar to the way a screenwriter writes a screenplay. And I think that's why you can relate to the two characters in the cab, in the taxi, in the song Taxi, or relate to the parent who, needs to be home a little bit more in Cats in the Cradle. So I think the effect that his documentary career had on his music was incredible. And he really went back to music, in order to pay for his career in documentary filmmaking. But of course, his music career took off and he never went back to documentary filmmaking.
Yeah, once he started performing as a solo artist, it's kind of interesting to watch him sort of develop. He wasn't particularly good at first as a solo artist. This is a clip from his brother, Tom Chapin, talking about one of Harry's first gigs.
We rented the Village Gate for $400 a week. And our opening act was, the first week was Harry by himself. And he's singing these long story songs. It was raining hard in Frisco, and it was dead. He didn't know how to perform yet, and the songs just lay there. And he did four very hard nights opening for us, and we were a pretty good band. So instead of being crushed by this, he says, I need a band.
That's a clip from the documentary Harry Chapin, When in Doubt, Do Something. So Jason, when did he figure out his vibe as a performer? And how he was going to present himself on stage that was attractive to people?
Well, he had already performed a number of years doing local get-togethers with his uncles Tom and Steve. So I think they were learning from each other. And obviously they also played sometimes with their father, Jim Chapin, the drummer. So, you know, there was a lot of learning evolving over time. But I think when he wanted to, when his brothers kicked him out of the band and he had to go on his own and he started as a solo artist, that wasn't working. Just, you know, in the business, you have to get the fan response. You have to, you know, please the fans. And so he had to go back to the drawing board. And he wanted to do something different, and he wanted to do something that would complement his guitar playing and his singing. And so he took the chance and brought in a cellist, which was very unusual. I can't think of a lot of other bands at the time who had a cellist. And then he brought in a lead guitarist and a bass guitarist, and they worked together. They tried to figure it out together. And so it was a process. But I think when you get fan feedback, when you get a response from fans, when you have a song that goes well, that goes over well, then I think you think, well, you know, this is right. And then when you don't get a good response, you know that's wrong. So it's a constant process. But I think what he was very good at was writing songs that people would be interested in and writing music that went along well with the songs, and then creating story songs, which were, you know, not very popular at the time and which was really his signature.
Well, he got really good at it because there was a bidding war between Clive Davis at Columbia and Jack Holzman at Elektra to sign him. And Rick, at the time, it was one of the biggest record contracts ever signed. What did they see in Harry and in his music?
Well, I think the main thing that Jack Holzman, who signed him at Elektra, and what Clive Davis saw was obviously Harry just jumps off the stage as far as charisma is concerned. You know, he's almost larger than the room. In this film, he jumps off the screen. You know, it's just the way he was. But what really drew to Harry and his music, I think, was the inclusion of the cello and this really unique, sometimes, you know, operatic soprano voice of John Wallace. Was those two elements, and I think Billy Joel does a great job of describing that in the film. That's what grabs you. You know, what's this? You know, a cello in the middle of, you know, a folk rock music? It just, you know, but Harry was able to make it work. It made it unique, and it made it cool. For kids at my time, my age, who were, you know, early 70s, it was unique and separated him a little bit from Cat Stevens and James Taylor and Gordon Lightfoot and Jim Croce, because he used those other elements in his music, and that's what made him stand out, made him unique.
Something I appreciate in the film is, because we learned so much about Harry Chapin's life and all, and you don't run away from Cats in the Cradle. You take it head on. The enormity of the song came out in 1974. Even if people don't know who it is, they know the song. And there's this great sequence in the doc of clips from films and TV shows, from The Simpsons to Friends to Blackish to Modern Family, referring to the song. And I just want to play a little bit of that montage.
It's been sure nice talking to you.
She's 22. She's going to go off, do whatever she does, and then you see her at holidays for a few hours here. Maybe you steal a Saturday once in a while. Reminded me of the Harry Chapin song, Cats in the Cradle, which was a great old song from a great, great man, great New Yorker, too.
Hey, what's Cats in the Cradle?
It's a song from the 70s. You've heard it.
And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon.
Why don't you just play your Cats in the Cradle video?
Oh, hey, son of a bitch, I love that song. That's got that nice message in it.
How we doing?
Cats in the Cradle.
Whoa, where are you going?
I'm gonna go play catch with my son before it gets too late, like Cats in the Cradle.
That's all very Cats in the Cradle. I don't wanna get into it.
Cause it's really plain and simple when it came to me. There's a lot of people just like me. There's a whole lot just like me.
Okay, so we heard Governor Cuomo at one of his coronavirus briefings, clips from The Middle, Two and a Half Men, The Goldbergs, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Blackish, Friends, and Run DMC. Jason, and it goes on. What is it about that song?
Well, it really started with a poem that my mother wrote, and my parents collaborated a lot on poetry and songwriting, and they did some musicals and a couple other things together. So she wrote it as a poem, and it was right around when my younger brother Josh was born, and so he looked at it closely and said, you know, I want to put some lyrics to this, and so he put some lyrics to it, then he recorded it, and, you know, then it was on the album, he's playing it in concert, and I think the fans, again, started giving him feedback, you know, they really liked the song, but nobody thought that it was going to be released as the first single, and I think at the time, David Geffen was running Elektra, and so he picked it as a single, and, you know, the DJs must have loved it, because it got a lot of airplay, and all of a sudden it was a hit, and then it raced up the charts. And I think the beauty of the song is that, you know, it's been covered by many other artists, too, who love it. Johnny Cash, Ugly Kid Joe, Judy Collins. You know, you heard Daryl McDaniels do his version. So it's just one of those songs that everybody can relate to in a different way. And so it's just a wonderful example of the power of music.
The name of the documentary is Harry Chapin, When in Doubt, Do Something. I'm speaking with his director, Rick Korn, and his producer, Jason Chapin. So, Rick, musicians have been politically active and involved with social causes for a very long time. And Harry really dedicated himself to trying to lobby to end world hunger. And a good portion of the film is really just about that. What was different about how Harry Chapin approached this?
Well, Harry didn't just believe in doing a concert or writing a protest song. Harry got his hands dirty. Harry went in, he looked at what the root causes of hunger and poverty were and are, and he tried to dig into how to solve those issues. And, you know, hence the reason for, you know, creating the board with President Carter on hunger and poverty. And, you know, he really looked into solving the issues. And if you think about it, and what makes Harry relevant to this moment is that what he created along with Father Bill Ayers back in 1975 and Why Hunger and Long Island Cares and all those organizations are on the front lines of the pandemic today. Mm-hmm. So Harry had the understanding and the, quite frankly, the brilliance along with Sandy and Bill. Sandy was every bit behind his activism, but he really led the way, not just with the organizations he started, but the people he inspired. Ken Cragen with We Are the World, Hands Across America, Live Aid, etc. All of these artist activists that came after Harry were there because they were inspired by Harry. And that's what made him unique. That's what makes this documentary unique than any other rockumentary.
And Jason, he proudly said that he played half his shows for charity. Why was it so important for him to devote time to this particular cause? And why his time?
Well, he grew up in a family that was very socially conscious, and they all had to contribute in some way. So I think he felt that once his career was established and he was doing well, that he needed to do more than that. And my mother always urged him to do more than that. And so once he decided that he wanted to make a difference, that he wanted to do something in terms of hunger and poverty, he was all in. And he was doing 200 plus concerts a year, half of them were benefits. And he also had, I guess the fortune or the misfortune of never saying no. Anybody who asked him to do a concert for just about any cause, he always said yes. We had backyard barbecues at our house that were fundraisers. He had, you know, my mother tells great stories. I remember he had a concert. After the concert, he invited people to come back and stay at our house if they donated $25 to Why Hunger.
Wow.
I mean, crazy things. He didn't have to put any limits on it. Once he decided that he was going to dedicate the rest of his life to fighting hunger and poverty, he gave it 100%.
The name of the film is Harry Chapin, When in Doubt, Do Something. It will be available on video on demand October 30th. I've been speaking with Rick Korn, its director, and Jason Chapin, its producer. Rick and Jason, thank you so much for being here.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.